You're wondering who I am.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
My sheep.
Welcome back. You're listening to 770CHQR and More Than Money. And Andrew, it's Valentine's week. Let's talk infidelity.
Wow.
Okay, not that kind of infidelity.
Well, that wasn't the infidelity I was talking about.
Yeah, financial infidelity. Let's talk about that. Let's talk. It actually happens. And it's funny because on our book, Bulletproof Your Retirement, we talk about a couple who one didn't tell the other about how much debt he had and was kind of hiding it. And so it was a real case in our clientele. We found, you know, there's quite a few clients who don't share their information with each other.
That's a common thread amongst a lot of people. I think it's fear-driven for the most part.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize how common it is.
Yeah.
So I think we need to talk to, you know, our guest here, Lori Campbell. She's the CEO of Credit Canada, and we're going to have that chat. Lori, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, so we've had cases with our clients who have not been, let's say, totally transparent with each other of what kind of debt or assets they may have, where they're spending their money. Do they actually have those kind of conversations? So let's kind of go through first. Let's define this stuff and then get into more details. Lori, what is financial infidelity?
Well, financial infidelity is any type of dishonesty around your finances, and it could be something as innocuous as, you know, maybe not telling your partner about all your spending. It could be hiding a bank account. It could be using your spouse or partner's credit. It could be not disclosing all the financial information about yourself when you first meet someone. So these are all types of infidelity. Obviously, it can get really bad where the individual may take out a second mortgage, another mortgage registers against the house. And, you know, these types of things, as you can imagine, cost relationships significantly, not only on a financial level, but also on an emotional level.
Now, do we see it amongst retirees? Like, I've seen a couple cases, but is it common?
You know, it's these types of things can be common amongst retirees, and certainly we obviously see children, you know, we call it friendly fraud, where they may be, the power of attorney for an older adult and cleaning them out. So we certainly see that. But we also see a lot in the romance scams or just meeting someone for the first time and, you know, you're lonely and that person may take advantage of you financially. So this certainly can happen, and we've seen it here at Credit Canada.
Wow. I think about all the different things that could potentially happen. Faisal, and I remember a situation a long, long time ago where a couple were together and the infidelity was she had a gambling debt.
Problem, not a debt.
Well, that's a problem.
A gambling problem.
Yeah. He came home and the house was up for sale. that's a big infidelity, but...
It's significant, but this kind of stuff absolutely does happen, especially with gambling debts, and gambling is a very secretive thing, or investing in some type of a pyramid scheme where you think you're going to get rich quick, and they've emptied the bank account thinking that they're going to be able to triple their money, and they've lost everything. So, you know, it's not, unfortunately, uncommon, and what we see here at Credit Canada is the fallout of that. You know, we ruin credit ratings, high debt levels, and ruin retirement for many people if they're at that stage of life.
Yeah. Now, on an age bracket, is there more people that are doing it, or financial infidelity shows a little bit more as they're younger versus older, or is there a differential between the two?
Well, we certainly see it more with the younger group between 18 and 54. You know, and it's understandable. They're probably meeting new partners and going through the process of getting to know somebody. And the red flags may be there, but people often don't trust their gut on these things. And they might even find out, 6 months after they're married, that this individual that they've married has, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in debt that they didn't disclose. So we know that it happens with the younger generation, but I think that as time moves forward and with the internet and everything else that's going on, we are going to see this type of financial infidelity on the rise, and people need to protect themselves and they need to trust their gut instinct.
So let me go over some of the stats that came out that you've produced to us, and love the charts that you gave us. So Andrew, age 18 to 34, 47% have been involved with financial infidelity. It goes all the way down to 18% when you're 65 years of age or older. What I found very interesting is some of the key topics that they discussed in the report. One of them was they ran up credit card balances without telling me. So, setting up on credit. They contribute less than they should based on their income. So they're keeping cash. They lied about how much income they make, which is interesting. They made a major purchase without consulting me. So major purchase. We're not talking like minor stuff here. We're talking cars, homes. Sure. Luxury
the boat
items.
Hiding in the marina. Yeah, that kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, we got a second property, sweetheart. Here it is. Like, yeah, surprise. Okay. They kept a secret stash of cash for me. So when I read that side story here, I thought of my mom. When I was young, I would go to my dad and say, look, I'm going out with some friends. We're going to go play hockey. We're going to go for Slurpees after, because that was the thing when I was young to do. Can I get a couple of bucks? Then I would go to my mom and ask the same question. So I'd get $2 from my dad, and then I go to my mom. And then my mom would reach into her secret stash, and she'd give me $4, not two, and she'd say, don't tell your dad. So I got $6 out of the transaction.
Well, at least you had the option to talk to both parents and get money. I certainly didn't get that at all.
Yeah, so.
I'm not sure who was scamming who there, though.
I didn't say I wasn't participating in the problem. I was just saying that my mother did that, too. She would give me extra money and say, don't tell my dad. Because she wanted, she was keeping it because it was a very, it was a strict home and so forth. So then there also was one piece that caught me. 4% of the people in this report went bankrupt, and they had no idea that they were in deep financial trouble.
Yes, and that's what we see here often. In fact, we have situations, believe it or not, that the couple can't even be in the same room with each other because one of them has had a P.O. box number where all the credit card statements have gone, and they may be joint or they've racked up joint debt, and the other person's had no idea because they've controlled the money, and they find out that they're in thousands of dollars of debt. They may be bankrupt, and the other person has had absolutely no idea. This is, unfortunately, a lot more common than you'd believe.
So that being said, if those commonalities come to effect, how, and knowing how many people do keep secrets from their spouses or partners, what kind of conversation or what kind of open conversation should people have with money with their significant others?
Well, while it's not romantic, you need to have these conversations.
Well, it's not hot, I'll tell you that.
Talking about money's not romantic? Come on.
Well, maybe with you, Faisal. But I tell you, that's a different story altogether.
Sorry, Larry, go ahead. I jumped in there. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, so, they need to sit down and disclose where they're at financially. If one person's controlling the bills, the other one's letting this happen blindly, you're just as much at fault. So be aware of the cash flow of the household, what's coming in, what's going out. Be aware of all the debts and all the bills. Have a limit on what an individual partner can spend on their own. It may be a $100 limit. Anything over that, you have to discuss with your partner. Lots of simple things like that. Write down your goals together. Do a projection every month. Are you further ahead or are you further behind? These are all really important. And key to this is talking about finances early on. I know it's not romantic to talk about on a first date or a second date, but about the third, fourth date, when you think this is getting serious, you should start asking some questions. And if the person's not willing to disclose information, I think that's a big red flag right there. And as time goes on, trust your gut on this. If this person seems secretive, if they've always left their wallet or their purse at home, if they're constantly needing to borrow money, their credit cards got stolen more than once, their bank account's been frozen, lots of things like that that they're kind of writing off as, oh, it's not my fault. Those are big red signs.
Lori, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this, because this is a topic that we don't normally discuss. It's not always discussed in homes, and I think raising awareness is a very good thing. Thank you, Lori.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We've been joined by Lori Campbell, CEO of Credit Canada. And, Andrew, this is where, more transparency, open conversations are required, and we want to ask every single person, regardless of if you're in a long-term relationship or you're starting a new relationship, you need to have those kind of conversations.
And a lot of people, there's a blue and pink jobs, Faisal.
Okay.
And different households have different sort of things. Some people look at the money together, others do not. But you know what? You don't have to be perfect on it. You just have to understand what's going in and what's going out on a regular basis and have that conversation with your partner. Because, it'll certainly help you navigate a lot of things. And maybe that puts you in a situation where maybe you're getting a financial plan or building something out in the future as well.
That's fantastic. Great information there, Andrew. And coming up after the break, we're going to talk about how much does it really cost for long-term care. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.